Hi, Jackie Yerby. Welcome to KABU.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me.
So I first met Jackie Yerby when she responded to my email to the citizens organization, Friends of Portland Street Response. I had signed their petition that made clear that if the city defunded the program, Portland Street Response, it would be a tragedy for that city and for the city's most vulnerable residents, that is, the destitute, the homeless, those in mental health crisis. And I had sought an interview with one of the leaders of Friends of Portland Street Response. Jackie's response was very terse. I'll do it and we can talk later. So I had to do an introduction. I was interested in her and Googled her. What a surprise it was for me. She was one of the most involved people on progressive struggles in the city. She was the community engagement director of the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, to whom aggrieved people asked for help. And many are not legal problems, but mostly political. And all of those wind up on Jackie's desk to contact and discuss their problem and maybe offer some help. And she also tries to help some organizations and people she notices. So she's involved deeply in Portland politics and helping progressive organizations like Friends of Portland Street Response. So, Jackie Yerby, we'll end this interview discussing today's police and city council hostility to Portland Street Response. Very unfortunate. And how Friends of Portland Street Response, the organization, have organized to save Portland Street Response. First, tell us about their program, their origins and history, and what they do and their methods.
Yeah, and Bill, I will do my best. And just I want to say, I am the Director of Community Engagement for the ACLU of Oregon, but I'm here not in my ACLU capacity. I'm here as a member of the Portland community who cares deeply about Portland and about our most vulnerable, including people experiencing mental health crises. And I should say, part of this is informed by my 4 years of working for Governor Kate Brown, most of that spent as her behavioral health policy advisor. So I was not part of the Portland Street Response implementation, but very much observing it from my position in the governor's office as the behavioral health policy advisor, and just, you know, really interested in the development of mobile crisis response units. And I'll say, I don't know if you're familiar with 988. It's the crisis line that went into effect in July of 2021, with the idea being that it replaced the 10-digit national suicide crisis line, or the national lifeline, with an easy to remember 3-digit number, so 988. And as part of the federal government's requirement for 988 implementation, mobile crisis needs to be part of that. And many counties, including Multnomah County, do have mobile crisis. And in Multnomah County, it's Project Respond. And again, I was not part of the launch of Portland Street Response, so I'm doing this based on what I've learned. And it was launched in 2021, so definitely like informed by the racial justice protests after the murder of George Floyd by the Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin. And it is an unarmed mobile crisis response to people experiencing a mental health crisis, whether they are houseless or whether they are housed. And I think most of the stories that we hear, the pictures that we see, are Portland Street Response engaging with people unhoused having a mental health crisis. But it's meant to be a mental health crisis response regardless of people's like housing situation. And as I understand it, it was housed in the Fire Bureau because Commissioner Joanne Hardesty, who was the champion for this, was the Fire Bureau commissioner. And under our current form of government, where commissioners have bureaus that report to them, it made a lot of sense to put it within the Fire Bureau. Does it make sense now? Probably not, especially considering that we're in a situation where there's recommendations coming out of the Fire Bureau to cut, I think, $3 million from the Portland Street Response budget to help balance the Fire Bureau's budget. And I will say, I can't speak super articulately about like the nuances of the city budget, but I'm very concerned that just the fact that Portland Street Response is housed within the Fire Bureau, and that it doesn't appear that the Portland Street Response budget is protected within the Fire Bureau, that like when there are shortfalls, whether it's a current budget shortfall or when the Portland Fire Bureau has overtime, that it can feel like the Portland Street Response budget is kind of a piggy bank, albeit a very small piggy bank, for the Fire Bureau to meet its other costs.
Yeah, let's talk about the methods of Portland Street Response, exactly what they do when they offer assistance and services. And they offer them to, my understanding is, a lot of homeless people, in fact, become troubled and often seen by many as undermining Portland's nice vibe, and it's especially in the downtown, and discouraging tourism. It's pretty important to Portland. And so let's talk about the methods, what they do exactly to people who are in real trouble. Offer assistance and services.
So I will say I don't work for Portland Street Response, and I have not observed them interacting with people in crisis. I've definitely like seen them out and seen them getting ready to respond. And I will say when I've seen them, I've wanted to like thank them and cheer them on, but I'm also like, hey, you're responding to a crisis. I should leave you alone right now. So Bill, I can't speak to what exactly they do because one, I don't work for them. You know, so I'm not a crisis response person. I'm not a Portland Street Response worker, and I haven't seen them at work. So I will speak with very broad brushstrokes and say that they are, you know, an unarmed, non-police response to people in crisis, and that part of the work that they do is de-escalation. You can imagine that people in crisis are pretty escalated. And so I think through their training, their orientation, they're engaging with people to de-escalate the situation, to help them kind of calm down. And as I understand it, part of what they do or have done and are somewhat constrained from doing is providing resources as part of that de-escalation. And so it could be clothes. It used to be tents and tarps before Commissioner Gonzalez in, I think, February of 2022, or maybe it was 23. Sorry, I'm not remembering the specific dates, but he said no tents and tarps because of concern of fire. And I will just pause and say this was right before when the weather was forecasted to be like in the 20s. So feels unconscionable to have issued that directive. But going back to de-escalation, being able to provide like literal physical resources. So clothes, water, snacks, tents and tarps, and build rapport with people, build trust with people. And I came across a quote, which I am not going to do justice because I don't have it in front of me, but I think it was a person who had been helped by Portland Street Response responding to a survey. And I think it might have been part of the PSU evaluation, and it's contrasted engaging with Portland Street Response to engaging with another like police response, saying they looked me in the eye, they talked to me, they treated me like a human being, they didn't look at my feet, they didn't, you know, they weren't judging me. And I feel like that's a really important part of Portland Street Response's success, their ability to engage with people in crisis in a way that the people feel seen and valued and not judged. And I also want to say that Portland Street Response is fundamentally a crisis response. And so I don't know about what long-term engagement they may have with individuals that they encounter. And I think it may have been in the Alex Zielinski OPB article that you had shared with me, which I'd read previously, that people are looking at Portland Street Response as solving or being part of solving the crisis of houselessness on Portland streets. And that's a lot to put on a very small organization. And so I think absolutely Portland Street Response is engaging with houseless people. There are houseless people having mental health and other crises that Portland Street Response is responding to, but I can't speak to, so I don't know to what degree they are actually getting them connected to organizations where they can connect to jobs or connect to other resources. I don't know that that's within the scope of their role. And I will say, I think between the PSU evaluation, which the city of Portland did not share publicly, and it didn't become public until after the end of the contract, I think in June 30 of 2023, and then more recently, the city auditor's office did an audit. And so one of the things is that Portland Street Response goals are not clear. Like, I think the PSU evaluation would say, you know, this is a very effective program. Portland Street Response has taken, I think I've seen the number, like the percentage, 3.5 to 4% of calls that would typically be handled by Portland police. And I forget how many of Portland Street Response calls would have otherwise been handled by the Fire Bureau. And I participated in the PCCEP, the PCCEP, and I, off the top of my head, cannot tell you what that acronym stands for, but it's the Police Accountability Commission. And I participated as a member of the community. And this is a few weeks ago. And Fire Bureau Chief Ryan Gillespie was there. There was somebody from the auditor's office talking about an audit they had done of Portland Street Response and the CHAP program. Like, they brought up the lack of obvious goals. And my sense from Chief Gillespie is, well, that Portland Street Response's goals aren't clear or maybe not aligned with the Fire Bureau because they divert more calls from the police than they do fire. And it was disheartening to hear that confusion because, like, on its face, if Portland Street Response is handling calls and responding in a way that somebody is de-escalated, that the crisis in the moment is addressed, that feels like a really good goal. And I've lived in Portland for 25 years, and I can think of a number of times where, long before Portland Street Response, where somebody experiencing a mental health crisis, that the police responded and the person was killed by the police. And, you know, thinking about James Chassie, who was killed by the police. And I believe that encounter started because he was urinating in public. And so there are better ways to respond to people in crisis than having police who are armed and who may not have the training to deal with people in crisis. And that's, I think, where Portland Street Response comes in. And I will say, Bill, gosh, many years ago, I ran a domestic violence organization. I was the executive director of Bradley Engle. And we dealt with people in crisis. And there were a few times, and so I would say this was in 2016 to 2017. And we would want, like, people trained in crisis response. And the only option at the time was Project Respond. And we would talk about it among staff about, do we call Project Respond? And I think every single time we decided not to call Project Respond, because Project Respond is a, at least at the time, a co-response model, which is that Project Respond would not respond to a crisis without the police. And for us as a domestic violence organization, we felt that having the police would escalate the situation rather than de-escalate. And I've talked to a number of people who had similar experiences more recently. And I will say, like, you know, I think Portland Project Respond plays an important role, and it's really important to have people who are trained in meeting people in crisis and to do it in a way that everyone is safe.
Yeah, and I think it also is that the people hired for Portland Street Response are people committed to, in fact, seeing people in crisis as not a permanent threat to society and undeserving of respect, but In fact, hardly anyone doesn't have some kind of mental health, not crisis, but at some point despair of some kind or another, or grief, and make it public some way. It seems to me the Portland Street Response understands that and respects people, and the police with their weapons, and they demand respect and intimidate people and often make things much worse. And as you pointed out, many killings in those situations.
Yeah, and Bill, I just want to say, I hold out the hope that there are still people who join the police that still see the humanity of the people that they're interacting with, especially our most vulnerable. I am fundamentally a hopeful person, and many years ago, a friend described me as a snarky optimist. So I've got to believe that there are cops who still see the humanity of our most vulnerable. And I hope that doesn't come across as being any kind of apologist for the police. I definitely have a lot of concerns about policing and policing in Portland. And I just, hopeful.
Yeah, maybe the success of Portland Street Response, in fact, shows police that respect for people and being considerate and being able to calm down people who are in crisis. Maybe that works. I mean, some cops just demand respect, and when they don't get it, they become quite agitated and acted out. It's probably part of the killing trajectory.
Yeah. When I was in the governor's office and working on 988 implementation, there was a representative from a lobbyist for the sheriffs and the police chiefs. And so police don't necessarily want to respond to these calls either, right? Because they know that they're not the right response. They're not equipped to deal with people in crisis. And so I'm hopeful that police, Portland Street Response, Fire, the city can come together and figure out, how do we support this successful program that is filling an important niche? How do we support it and help it be successful?
Yeah, I think the street cop and most of the police would welcome not having to do that job and would welcome Portland Police Response. I think maybe the administrators of the police have a stake in maintaining police numbers and growing police, and they are part of the problem, as well as the recent change in the mayor and city council. They've become a conservative organization, are committed to hard policing and no-nonsense policing. One final thing, how is Friends of Portland Street Response organizing? How are they reaching the public and building public support for Portland Street Response? And what can our listeners do?
So Friends of Portland Street Response, we have a website. It is friendsofpsr.com. Again, friends, plural, of PSR.com. So that's our website. And last summer, we launched a petition that I remember when we were sitting around thinking about the petition, we're like, success to us was if we could get 1,000 signatures in a week. I think we got 1,000 signatures within hours and 10,000 signatures in 10 days. This is a very widely supported program, I think, across the political spectrum, across, business people and housed people and unhoused people. Right now, we have 11,942 signatures, and so people are welcome to continue signing. We keep people up to date on what's going on. And so we had published a letter in November that we had sent to Commissioner Gonzalez after trying and failing to meet with him after his chief of staff, Shaw Smith, had committed to meeting with us. I will say we subsequently did meet with Shaw Smith a few weeks ago after the PSEP meeting, where Shaw reached out to us, I think the very next day, and said, are you available this afternoon to come to meet? Which was challenging, but a few of us were. And we continue to monitor the situation and ask questions because we're deeply committed to ensuring that Portland Street Response has the resources that it needs to provide these important services to our community. We are really looking forward to this new council form of government. We will be making endorsements for city council races And I think we'll be rolling out that endorsement process later in the summer.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, going to our website, signing the petition. We don't send a lot of emails out, but for folks who sign the petition, we send out emails to say, here's what's going on. We're active on social media, on, I will still say, Twitter, on Instagram. I'm not sure if we have a TikTok, but we definitely try to keep people informed about what's going on.
Hey, Jackie Yerby with Friends of Portland Street Response. Thanks so much for talking to us.
Thank you, Bill. Really appreciate it.